Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you today? Already, today is the, what is today's date? 13. Huh? 13 or 12?
13.
13, huh? So is it too late to wish you all Happy New Year? How's the New Year so far? Okay? Not bad. So it's very fast. It's already 2:19. So let's see. Anyone on my left who is new here today? Let me see. All season parking holders, huh? So someone who is new, yes. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
Just passing by.
Just passing by, huh? Oh, not bad. 5.8 million people you happen to pass by. Welcome. What is your name?
CK.
CK. Welcome, welcome. Not easy to happen to pass by the first session. For the year. Yeah, first session for the year. Yeah. How about the gentleman behind? First time also. Pass by with him. And what is your name?
Lee
Kian. Huh? Kian. CK and Kian. Welcome. Let me see. Any the lady? Yes. First time? Through the website. Sorry? Wen Pei. Welcome, welcome. And which website is that?
Eventbrite.
Ah, okay, good. Welcome. So welcome to SGC, where we have short puja, short meditation. The Dharma talk is, don't know whether it's getting shorter or longer. Yeah. So, every week we have a different topic. Twice a month, we are currently covering the Diamond Sutra on the first and the third week. Today is the second week. Yeah. We just came back from our three-week break. Yeah. So, today's topic. What is today's topic? Today's topic is New Year, New Me. Yeah. New Year, New Me. Is it? Correct. New Year, New Me. Not everybody has the privilege of growing up watching your father working on hi-fi. I grew up with electronic cables and yeah. So, even in primary school, setting up a VCR and TV and plugging in the cables was part and parcel. Yeah, I volunteered for the AVA club in primary school, in secondary school, in JC. So, okay, so, let me see. Today's topic, New Year, New Me, is it? New Year, New Me. Oh. Let me change the color. So, yeah. New Year, New Me. So did you all make any New Year resolution? How many of you made New Year resolution? 1, 2, 3. How many of you broke your resolution already? When I was much younger, it was a thing to make New Year resolution. So in the past 3 weeks, I've been thinking about the New Year. What to do for the New Year? The last SGC session, I shared with you all about how if you sit down and think about it, at the end of our life, if we get reborn as a human being again, then the new baby is the result of our conditioning. So then I ask the question, what kind of baby we want to bring to the world? You know? Not in the sense of us giving birth to children, but the future baby that we are going to become. Then I mentioned about how we don't have to wait until next life. Yeah, we have only 2 weeks to 2019. Yeah, that was 3 weeks ago. Or rather 4 weeks ago, because it's already 13. Yeah, because we have the break until 8th of January. Yeah, so it was in the middle. So, what kind of new baby, yeah, do we want to bring to this world in 2019? Yeah. The good thing about, in a way, it's a side effect of sharing, is that it sticks onto you the most. Yeah, I don't know about other speakers, but I would spend time rethinking what I've shared, for one, to make sure that there's nothing that is infactual, yeah, that there's nothing that I quoted that is wrong. Two, to also reflect on what I've shared, whether it makes sense or whether it's meaningful, yeah. And so for the past 3 weeks, I've been thinking about that. And I asked myself, how did I spend 2018? And how do I want to spend 2019? Even more importantly, what kind of me do I want to bring to this world? So I want to invite you to continue this reflection, yeah, and ask ourselves, just very quietly think to yourself how 2018 has been. Yeah. When we think about a year, we sometimes think about it in terms of our work, how our work has been. Some of us may think about it in terms of our family, yeah, or our friends. In other case, we may think about a toy car. Show me your toy car. 来给师傅看一看. 对啊, 给师傅看一看. 来嘛. Don't burst my bubble, you see? His t-shirt. 来给师傅看一看. 给师傅瞧一瞧. 来. 你们玩了这么久, 就是为了要引人注目。 就是要师父看一看了，现在就不要害羞了，来，哇，你看这么有诚意，跪着过来，以后就走过来就好，不用跪。哦，Look at this toy car. When I was a kid, I had those, those something like those matchbox, very small, yeah. I had a couple of those cars. The wheels are like hard plastic, and then there's a metal, very thin metal rod going through. And if you play it long enough, the wheel goes in it. And then I also had those spaceship, very small die-cast type. But I had this very bad habit. Sometimes, I don't know why, you know, as a small kid, you don't really have anything to get upset over, you know. But sometimes you play. And furthermore, I'm the only son, so I play by myself. Play, then suddenly fed up. Then you know what happened? I'll throw it at the wall. Sometimes I'll throw it at the cupboard. Yeah, so sometimes the cupboard, hey, 师父现在讲这个, 你们不要学。 Wow, later go back. Yeah, so I would throw my toys, and then it will end up having a hole in the cupboard, you know, sometimes in the door, sometimes at the ledge, yeah, sometimes at the wall, yeah. Then, you know what happened? Then the central committee will come. My mother, in other words. My mother will give me warning. Yeah. And if after several warnings I still refuse to budge, I still throw my toys, immediately there's a penalty. Yeah. After a few warnings, then there's penalty. Yeah. Oh, 不错啊，这个蛮好玩的。 你看啊，这个飞车。 已经可以了，不够，要这样子，你看啊，哇！So you know what my mom did? 不要抢，一起拿过去，一个人拿就好了，不用两个人抬着那个车的，车会自己跑，不用抬的，来，师傅弄给你看。 来，师傅弄给你看，你看啊，你注意看啊，一、二、三，哎，师傅变魔术给你看，哎，车跑去那边去了，嗯。 不是，这个是这样子玩的，师父教你怎么玩。啊，你听到这样啪啪啪就是已经够了，对吗？对。然后就，然后，哇，那好，去后面玩。啊，然后我妈妈她就会怎么样？哎 ，sorry， become Chinese。 Yeah， so anyway， my mom would take the toy。 And, what happened to the... my mom would take the toy and put it into the rubbish bin. You know the HDB flat open up? Not the paper bin in the house, then you can still pick it up. No. But she'll give me warning first. 如果I cut掉. Yeah, you want to throw? I will throw it away. Yeah, so small kids must try ma. Yeah. I don't know whether I was thinking in that way, but anyway, still throw. After that, gone. So throw until I'm left with not much toys. Yeah. But of course, 2018, I didn't do that. Yeah. So I want to invite you all to think about how has it been, whether in terms of your health, in terms of your family, in terms of your work, or in terms of your maybe family and friends. Anything else? Anything else? That was in my mind also. And I thought, should finance be under work? We can put it as a separate thing. Yeah. Because work is not just about the money. Huh? Yeah. Initially, sometimes it's about the money. But after a while, you may realize that money can only bring you so far. Even if you are getting your ideal pay, But if you're miserable every day, then you after a while you're like, you know what, I quit. Not worth the money. Yeah. If you're stressed every day, if you're unhappy every day, yeah. If you're having too much, conflict at work, of course we shouldn't just quit once we have conflict. Then you will find yourself moving all over the country. Yeah. But if after many attempts, and somehow, especially if it's the culture, if it's one-to-one, person-to-person, you can still work around it, resolve it or something. But if it's the overall culture, where either you don't see eye to eye, values are different. You know, some companies do whatever it takes, cut the deal. Maybe you are that type, maybe you are not that type. Yeah. Then no matter how much they pay you, you just don't connect. Yeah. Or sometimes some companies, I have some students who they are almost like default. Working OT is a default. Yeah. Some people have come to accept that. For example, teachers. Yeah, any teachers here? One behind. I shall not call his name, otherwise. Have you ever thought about it? The teaching profession is one of the few in the whole country where their work is homework. In most other industries, when you finish your work, you're not required to bring your work back home to do. Yeah, maybe once in a while, but it's not like every week. But teachers, in our time when we were in school, there's two sessions. So morning session, when we finish, then we go home, we bring back homework. Some of us are very, very, how should I put it? Very smart. Smart, not necessarily intelligent, but smart, but in the sense that we do our homework, rush through it, then finish it up. And then when we go home, there's no homework. But for the teachers, when they mark their homework, morning session teachers will mark in the afternoon, yeah? Or they can maybe even leave earlier and bring it back home to just mark in a few hours. But nowadays it's full session, yeah? And after class, 2-3 o'clock, they still have to go and ECA this, ECA that. So I have many students who are teachers, and they actually have to bring piles of assessment book, all the homework, yeah, back home to mark. Yeah, it's quite crazy. Yeah, so work, work is not just about the money. Yeah, finance is not just about the work also. Whilst finance is not just about how you earn the money, but how you spend as well. Yeah, how has it been? Has it been a stressful year for finance or work? Or has it been a boon? Yeah, you don't know what to do with the GST rebate, then. Yeah. Or maybe you make a killing in the Bitcoin, yeah. But I didn't write finance or work first. I wrote down health because I decided maybe for many people health is more important. Without health, you will bring pain to your family and friends. Without health, you can't work. In fact, there was once I shared with a student. All of us know that we are replaceable at work. But even more importantly, tomorrow when you fall sick, within a short period, your company will find someone to stand in for you. And if your absence from work is extended, then they will find a replacement. But when you fall sick tomorrow, nobody can find a replacement for you at home. So while we should be responsible at work, you must know it's still just work. It's but work. So think about it. Yeah? How has 2018 been? Family, friends. When we think in terms of this, we may also think in terms of how has these few categories been to us. And we can also think about how have we been to these four categories. Meaning, like, you live normally, but then in 2018, somehow you keep falling sick. That's one angle. Another angle is, maybe for 2018, because you work very hard, so you have been mistreating your health. Yeah. Family, friends, maybe how have your relationship been in the two direction? How much did you put in? How much have they put in? Work, how much do you get? How much do you put in as well? Yeah. And finance, of course. So you can think about it. But besides that, in the Buddhist tradition, there's this practice where when a person go to a monastery to stay, and then when leaving, he will pay respect to the community and in a way make amends. Yeah, ask for forgiveness. Yeah, for whatever harm or hurt, yeah, or any transgression, yeah, big or small, through body, speech and mind, intentional or unintentional, that one has made, yeah, during that stay. Yeah. To sort of have a proper closure, to ask for forgiveness. And then in turn, the community will forgive and also ask for forgiveness, yeah, in case if there's any conflict. I first learned about this when I was visiting this Theravadan center. Very beautiful practice. So later on, when I came back to Singapore, I kind of adapted it for memorial service. Yeah. So when there are memorial service, funeral, then we do the chanting. Before chanting, I will explain the significance of the sutra, then do the chanting, then I will lead the community, I mean not the community, the family, to the departed, yeah, near the coffin, and then I will lead them to do the mutual forgiveness. So in a way, when we look at 2018 in 2018 is like the you can treat it like a place that you visited, huh? The difference is that this place is a place that you cannot go back again. Yeah. 2018 is a country that you visited, a place that you visited, a place that you stayed in. The people that you met in 2018 are people that you cannot meet again. The one that you meet in 2019 are different people. Yeah. So, so number two would be to, I usually use the word repentance, but the other day at SIM last week, I used the word correction. Yeah. Now that I say it out, I realize both have its own connotation. Repentance feels quite heavy, yeah, as though we did some heinous deeds that we have to repent for. And then correction is a bit lighter, huh? I think we use correction, okay? Like, you know, 小朋友, yeah? You know, in school we do corrections, yeah. And talking about which, there was one day, when I was doing the composition correction, So I wrote down correction and not corrections. Because I only have one correction. Somehow the teacher noted that and told me, no, it should be corrections. I think it was like a noun thing. Yeah. To make correction. Or to make corrections for a correction. I don't know. I remember this quite clearly. The teacher corrected me. No, it's always with a, it is a plural form or something. But I don't know. Maybe you all can let me know, huh? And then in turn, to give, to render forgiveness. Yeah, to render forgiveness. So the corrections is about asking ourselves, what are the things that perhaps we have done in various areas that is perhaps less than ideal. Don't be so hard on ourselves. If we have done something, maybe it's accidental, maybe it's unintentional, then to try to make amends. Yeah, do corrections. Corrections is about making a determination as well, not to repeat. Yeah. But then, as unenlightened ones, we tend to repeat. So how? Just keep correcting. Like if you think about it, if you are teaching in primary school, Sui Tzu, are you teaching in primary school? Primary school. Does your student, do your students keep making the same mistake? They do. So we need a lot of patience as a teacher. Do you give up on them? Of course cannot give up. Even if you give up, you cannot say you give up. But you must not give up. So teachers at different level have to teach with a different mindset. If the teacher give up, give you how many chance? This is already me. How many months do you need? Then the small kid. Yeah. Especially small kids. Small kids have are very forgetful. Yeah. Sometimes not because of their fault, you know. Later on, much older, I read that small kids, their memory are still sort of sinking in. Especially when they are preschool. Their memory is like all over the place, you know. So I don't know whether it's an excuse for myself, but when I was a kid, whatever happened in the morning, afternoon, I can forget about it, you know. Yeah, so I do something in the morning. By the time it's afternoon, my mom discovered and asked me, do you do this? Like with the really like very sincerely, yeah. So I was consciously not lying when I say I didn't do it. Yeah. So have some compassion for ourselves also as we do corrections, but not to become an excuse. Yeah. But to recognize that because we have a tendency to lapse, so we must maybe put in more effort to make corrections. And while we ourselves, we want to do corrections, we want to ask for forgiveness, we should also consider the same circumstances that others are in. Yeah? That just as we ourselves, we are still subject to falliness, yeah? We sometimes still do stupid things, so likewise others. So to also render forgiveness. So the other day, someone apologized to me. Then I realized, I look at the message, and look. I realized I don't know what to say to that person, you know. Yeah. Because I just feel like if I say I forgive you, it's not that I don't say, it's not that I don't forgive that person, because it's not such a big deal anyway. But I realize there's this stigma. I feel like if I say I forgive you, it's as though it's a very big thing, no. But I don't feel that it's a very big thing. So I realize I'm lost for words on how to express how I feel. Yeah. So oftentimes I'll just say, oh, no worries, it's okay. But then later on, I realized that that's also not very right. Because if I keep saying it's okay, then why should the person apologize if it's okay to begin with? Then, yeah. So I realized that this is something that we need to also learn. Learn how to forgive. And maybe how to say it. And I'm telling you in advance, because I don't really know how to, like, what is the degree? Yeah, because we just grew up not really going through this process. Yeah. Huh? Like, have you ever said I forgive you or something? Never, right? Only came, ma. See, well, when you stop coming means you forgive me already, ma. You know what I mean? Yeah, not saying it's right or wrong, but it's just a matter of fact that those of our generation, we just don't go through that process. But nonetheless, for a start, at least in our heart, to have that sense of making peace with that person. Or sometimes it's not a person, sometimes it's a circumstances, a situation, yeah. And to also recognize that sometimes really nobody is at fault. Yeah, that indeed, as the saying goes, we are all the product of circumstances. That statement itself actually has a lot of teaching on emptiness. Yeah, although I'm not sure whether those who came up with the saying grasps the full extent. Yeah. So corrections and forgiveness. And then from there, perhaps we can find some compassion for both of ourselves and others. Yeah. How can we bring more compassion in 2019? Perhaps, so that day I shared with them this five. But the day when I share, I put gratitude first, then compassion. And as I was writing, I realized that maybe gratitude should come, you know, as a wrap up. So today I wrote it the other way around. Yeah. And on compassion and gratitude, I want to share with you an encounter I had, an interesting encounter. So, last week, I had three talks, and then the Tuesday class started, Wednesday class started. Tuesday was the weekly ITBW in the Buddha's words. Wednesday was Heart Sutra. Thursday was in the Ru Pusa Sing Lun. Yeah. Then in the daytime, on Monday, was it Monday or was it the week before? I went to SIM to give a talk, which is what I shared. Then on Thursday, Friday, I had a talk Thursday afternoon. Had a talk at Singapore Buddhist Youth Mission. Qing Nian Hong Fa Tuan. I tell you all something funny. Qing Nian Hong Fa Tuan, youth ma. But when you go there, not very Qing Nian. Yeah. Because they started like maybe 50, 60 years ago or earlier. So they started when they were Qing Nian. Yeah. Now not so Qing Nian. Qing Nian means youth. Yeah, so it's the title, the name of the organization is very youthful. Singapore Buddhist Youth Mission. But when you go there, the youngest is retired age. Yeah. 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 So they have been around since their youth. Dedication. This is what I call dedication. So Thursday afternoon, then it was a very interesting meditation panel. Three venerables, I was one of the speakers. So it was round robin, the whole camp, about 50 of the youth from NUS, NTU, SIM, SMU. Yeah. They attended this Dharma camp. Then they were split into three groups and they went round robin. Yeah, so we had to teach the same thing three times. Yeah. It was very interesting experience. One of the highlights from that session was they wanted us to clarify a misconception on meditation. The misconception is that you have to meditate for long hours. So I told them, I'm here to clarify on the misconception. It's true. Yeah, it's true if you want to attain enlightenment like the Buddha. Yeah. Just like, do you have to study when you enter university? That is true only if you want to get good grades, you want to get first class honors. You don't have to study so hard, yeah, if you don't want to get that. You don't have to study at all if you want to just go in but don't intend to come out. So it depends on what you want to do, yeah, even in terms of meditation. If you just want to meditate and reduce a bit of stress, I told them this. That's an easier way. Just watch Netflix, watch YouTube, go shopping, go Taobao, whatever. Yeah. But those methods, while giving you instant gratification, yeah, that's the reason why all these companies are thriving, is because it works. But it works only for a short while. And after that, your mind, while getting short-term reprieve from the stress, may not be in a better state, yeah, to deal with the stress, to deal with the issue at hand. But if you manage to get yourself to really sit regularly, then you can, you're better equipped. So after the whole day of sharing, after whole afternoon, then I was going back. Then I called one of the volunteers to help me get Grab. Then Chris helped me to get Grab. So along the way, went through, I think, Lonnie, then Brado, then at some point, so I was, usually I take the time while on the road to reply messages, because in between that, if I'm not on the road, then I'm either at a class or I'm at my place busy doing things. So during those period, I sometimes don't see the messages. So on the road, then I take the opportunity to reply. So one instant while I look up, then I noticed that it was going towards Bradley. I was like, why this route? Then I look down again. The next moment I look up, it was turning. I realized that he was going to go into CTE. And I thought, okay. And it passed by this place, this turning, where you can actually go into a small slip route through Lorong Chuan. Yeah. And that's quite an exciting route because it's a very strange route. Suddenly you go under the highway and then you turn around and then suddenly you're on the other side. But before I can say anything, he go past that and go into CTE. So I was not fast enough to tell the Grab driver that, hey, maybe you can take Lorong Chuan, but too late, so I didn't say. So again, I continue replying messages. Then I figured he's going to exit Avenue 1 and then go towards Serangoon. Yeah. And then the next moment I look up, we were just at Cardiff Grove and he didn't turn it. And he was going to go straight into Lorong Chuan, then the big circle. And there was this thought that came to my mind, like, yeah, because if you go by Lorong Chuan, then sometimes that place can be quite jammed. Yeah, and that journey itself takes 5 minutes, but then it can become 15 minutes or even longer. Yeah, sometimes it's just all the vehicles just converge there and just stuck in the circle. Then I thought, it was too late anyway. And I thought to myself, oh, second or third opportunity already. And by then, there's no other way. Just go straight and then turn. So along the way, in that few minutes, I thought to myself, does it matter? Does it matter if I tell the driver my better route versus the route he picked? Granted, there was once the driver went into Cardiff Grove and came out again and then go in again and came out again and go in because the Google Map got confused. Until I was like, you know, after a while, you're quite used to the journey and the number of turns. So I was like, how come over here turn left again? Then I opened my eyes, where are we? And the driver confessed to me, that was another ride. And the driver confessed to me that he's a bit lost because somehow the map keep on telling him to turn left, turn left, turn left, making circles. So that day I was in the car, and along the way I keep thinking about this. Should I have voiced out? Should I have told the driver the route to take, my preferred route? Yeah. I find that the Grab drivers are usually more receptive to the directions you give. I don't know whether I'm biased or maybe my sample size is too small. But I feel that last time when I take cabs, sometimes the cabbies can be quite fierce. You want to tell them which route, then they look at you like, as though like, hey, young man, you know how long I've been driving? You know, they give you that kind of feeling. But again, it's my own perception. But the important thing is, at the end of the day, I was thinking, does it matter? Because at the end of the day, he still get me back. And it didn't take too much longer anyway. And even if there's a jam, you know, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, even if we really got stuck in the circle, how long can it be? 5 more minutes? 10 more minutes? It's up to me how I want to spend my time or inside the car. If it's 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, I can always meditate. You know, it's up to me. But all these thoughts didn't go into me. I was just thinking, does it matter? And I realized, yes, there will be a difference. But on some level, there's no difference because ultimately, he still got me back. Unless he get me into a car accident because he took a different route. But accidents don't happen because you take a different route. So then, I thought about this. Yeah, and I thought about how I interact with others. Whether it's necessary to give precise instructions. Yeah, whether in terms of the exact steps to take or the exact outcome to have. So that was a very important car ride. I actually wanted to write into a blog, but then procrastinate for the past few days. Maybe I'll still go back and hammer it out.
To add a little bit, it probably matters for the driver. If he takes shorter road, he could save a little bit of fuel.
Yes. Very good point. Because many times when I interact with others, I interject for that purpose also. So that one of the thoughts that came to mind was efficiency. If I'm going back these few routes, I know more or less which one is more efficient. But I ask myself, if I bring it up, how would the driver feel? Would the driver feel offended? Most of them so far don't appear to be offended. But I was considering, yes, efficiency. And in this case, actually not just saving me time, but saving the driver petrol. So oftentimes, when they're picking me up, I'll tell them, easier if you do a 3-point. So far, most of them oblige, but I will still explain to them why. And I'll tell them, because it's quite a big loop if you don't. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. Yeah. It's not much additional time for me, but that's some petrol to go around for nothing, because it's just going back the same way out. So yes, I considered that. But then I realized that, yes.
From that point, it matters if you're taking
cab. Yes.
It matters if you're having diarrhea also, or you're close to having diarrhea.
So
that 1 minute
can make a huge difference. Whether you are...
difference or a complete difference.
Yes, yes. There was once it really happened, but not in the cab. But so yes, there are circumstances where that few minutes, sometimes not even 5 minutes, 1 minute can make a huge difference also. So all things taken into consideration, yeah, of course in that car ride, I only thought about efficiency. I didn't go into the diarrhea thing. Yeah, but those are real situations that can happen and should be considered as well. Yeah. So for every different circumstances, we may have to make adjustments. But I ask myself, what was my general rule? My general rule tend to be about efficiency. Yeah. And I seem to pride myself with it. And so in the car ride, I thought about this. Yeah, but if I tell him, then it's more efficient, ma. But somehow in that car ride, maybe it's the whole afternoon of sharing on meditation and mindset, you know. So I thought to myself, but how would he feel? Even more importantly, how would people around me feel when I keep harping to them efficiency? And then something occurred to me. That while efficiency is not a bad thing, but I ask myself, who likes to be compared with efficiency? Who wants to be valued over, let's say, now if your boss tell you that your boss value efficiency more than you as a person, Do you see the stark contrast? It's not efficiency of you, you know. It is that if a person tell you that efficiency of the matter is more important than you as a person. Yeah, so that day in the car ride, I thought about this and I was like, yeah. Maybe this, this, in a way, belief system or value system, yeah, that efficiency is most important, is perhaps questionable, at best, or at least questionable. I still think efficiency has a place, yeah, but I start to question myself, whether that's the most important thing. Whether that's the most important thing. There are certain circumstances where efficiency is important. Yeah, matter of whether you shed yourself or not. Yeah. But as I explained to a friend, imagine if, let's say, now it is your friend who is driving you, and you're not having the shitting situation. Yeah. All things being equal, if your friend is driving you, there's a high chance your friend may not necessarily drive faster. Number one, because your friend is not a professional driver. Number two, because you are probably having a social interaction, you know, chit-chatting along the way. And you wouldn't hold your friend for over efficiency. Yeah, you wouldn't turn around and tell your friend, hey, stop talking lah, focus on your driving, get me back. Yeah, usually I take Grab 15 minutes there. You wouldn't say that. Now imagine if your friend say that to you. That's the last time you'll give that friend a ride. Yeah, so in that short car ride, in fact, not the whole car ride, just the last maybe 5 minutes, all this went through my mind. Yeah, so to me that was a very important car ride. So I thought to myself, it's easy for me to give myself the excuse that, oh, but you know, tech industry, yeah, it's all about efficiency, but to what end? Yeah, and what purpose? The irony is just like you mentioned, yeah, about how petrol, that if I were to point out the faster route, it actually saved the driver petrol. In the same way, when I point out things to people around me, it is to save them time. So I ask myself later, if I were to do that with the aim to help them do less, you know, be more efficient, but the result is not that. The result is the driver is not happy. Then, you know what I mean? Then in the end, I'm not achieving efficiency also. Because you know how people drive and they're not happy. Yeah. So I'm very thankful for that car ride. Yeah. And in a way, now as I'm sharing, I'm reminded of another car ride. A lot of things happen in the car rides. For me, it was a different car ride. I was driving a senior monk. So I was serving as driver, drive. And then somehow that senior keep on commenting. Hey, too far left, too far right, turn here. I'm like, at some point I got so frustrated, I turned around, even though he's a senior, and I said, if you want to ask me to drive, you got to let me drive. Yeah. And after the words came out, I realized perhaps how inappropriate that line was. Yeah. But that day when I shared with a friend, I also shared about how I felt about the car ride and my reflections. That it was a very interesting experience because I was actually quite, how should I put it? In a way, comfortable or even excited to consider the possibility that some of my prior assumptions were actually wrong. Yeah. Or my approach itself. Yeah. Assumptions and approach. The assumptions would shape the way we look at things, which would then in turn shape our approach to things. Yeah. And I shared how over the years, sometimes I start to become less and less sure about things. And it reminded me of another friend who spent years doing a PhD in the Abhidhamma. And she shared with me how she was a bit, I don't know whether it was impressed or surprised, with how certain I am. Because she was definitely not certain about it at all. And how some other friends who did their PhD in different fields echoed similar sentiments. Perhaps I'm reaching the stage where I'm having some form of brain damage. Not necessarily the permanent type. Yeah, but I thought should I say humbling, or should I say interesting experience? Because in a computer world, it's very certain. You don't want to be in a situation where you are not certain, even if your code is working. It's most terrifying when your code is working and you don't know why it's working. In fact, we are quite happy to have code that's not working and we know why it's not working, more than when the program is working without us knowing why it worked. We're very terrified because it means we don't know when it's not going to work. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
How do you deal with that? So the only thing that I could think of is probably you are giving more wisdom because, you know, you are putting a lot more factors into it, or you're just getting confused.
I don't know which way is it, but thanks for even considering the possibility of having more wisdom. Yeah. Yes, it is very interesting. Yeah. It's almost an interesting experience or by itself. Yeah. It is, I'm in a way reminded of the time I've shared before about how in the past, when I have disagreements with friends or even family, I'll be quite clear about my stand. And I would be, you know, in a good debate tradition, you know, really set out certain premise and then assumptions and everything, and slowly tear down the opponent's viewpoint until nothing is left but the trophy or victory. And then a couple of years back, when we were doing translation, every week is a series of sometimes very heated discussion. So there was one day, this happened again, well, actually almost every week, we would look at the translation, and then sometimes we will just be unanimous. Okay, sometimes I'll be like, something not quite right about this. So that day, I was on this repertoire, giving my dissertation on why this doesn't make sense, you know. And I go, wow, like this, like that, like this, like that, and then quote here, quote there, quote. And then, hands. What happened? Oh. And then in the end, concluding that I was wrong. Yeah. It's a pity I didn't capture the moment, because my Dhamma brother's face was most interesting. He was like, huh? What? Yeah, literally. Because usually when we have, two sides, we'll be arguing to try to reinforce our stand, to disprove the other person's stand. So he was expecting me to come up with some proof to show why mine works. Yeah. And in the end, I proved that mine was wrong. And it took him a few seconds to sort of sink in what I just said. So he was just nodding away, what? Yeah. I would say, I must say that if I get to talk to myself when I was in my 20s, this would be quite unheard of. Me in my 20s would be like, are you crazy? Yeah. Or maybe might even think that, yeah, why not, you know, but then never happen. Or maybe we would be frightened with the prospect of being proven wrong, not to mention proving yourself wrong. Yeah. And I cannot say that I have never in the past perhaps seen how, you know, how sometimes when we are in a discussion and sometimes halfway through we may see in our own stand. And so we, instead of trying to, you see that there's no more recourse. And then instead of trying to pile up, you just try to find a convenient exit. Yeah, without having to admit that your stand is weak or wrong. I think sometimes we will feel this way. Yeah. So we may, as a result, not be comfortable with being uncertain. Yeah, whether it's our stand being correct or wrong. But I think at some point, for me, it was a shift. In the case of arguments, the wish to really know what is the truth, yeah, that make it okay to be proven wrong. I don't know whether I've deviated from what you asked. I think what you asked was more about being uncertain about things. Was that the focus?
Yeah, being uncertain about things. Which things that you are very confident? Previously.
Sorry, I missed out one part. It was coming in and it was a bit occluded. Uh-huh.
Clear.
Okay.
Yeah, so how do you deal with that as well? Like what's going on?
Ah, okay. Give you all an example. Computer so far, I'm surprised that after all these years, seems still quite competent. I guess technology is just like that. But Dharma. I'll tell you all this. When I was much younger, I was very clear about what the sixth realm was. You know, heavenly beings, human, asura, hungry ghosts, animals, hell. I was very clear about it. I even wrote to the forum to correct somebody. It got published even. And that was way even before I became a monk. But over the years, I start to, in part because I've read through most of the Nikayas, and then plus the Mahayana Sutras, then I start to have a bit of a question. For example, ghost. Have you ever thought about what exactly is a ghost? And how most of our notion of a ghost is actually shaped more by the media than by facts, or even the sutra. Most of us, our perception of a ghost or our idea of a ghost is less based on what the Buddha has observed or what we ourselves observe, but more shaped by the media. Because if you look at the sutta on ghosts, there's a whole range of beings all classified under ghosts. Not all ghosts are hungry, you know, for one. Yeah. For one, hungry ghost is used as the placeholder to represent the whole umbrella of beings, yeah, peta, because of the extreme form of suffering. But there are also those beings classified under ghosts that are what we call Da Li Gui Wang, and they don't really suffer that much. In fact, they have psychic power. Yeah. And then there's also the description of ghosts having mother and children. So if you go through enough of the Buddhist literature, the sutras, yeah, and then you put them together, then you realize that our previous notion of a ghost is a very simplified form, much like g equals to 10 meters per second squared, when in fact it's 9.8. Yeah, when we go to JC, it becomes upper sec becomes 9.8, or JC becomes 9.8. Then in you up beyond that, it becomes 9.8. What Yeah, because you know, Faculty of Engineering in front of me, I have to defer to him first. Then he said to know, then I can guess. 9.8 something, 3142 something something. But they are all right for that purpose. They are all right for that purpose. Yeah. So think about it. Yeah. To wrap up my mini thing, is that after thinking through all that, in fact, prior to that car ride, I was having this thought related to the baby. What kind of person do we want to bring to this world? Yeah, in 2019. Or to put it more blatantly, more directly, what kind of person do we want to be? And I asked myself, in my case, what kind of shifu? And then I realized that some people don't need a shifu. Some people need a shimu. I'm willing to be a shimu. When I ask myself, yeah, if people don't need shifu, then you keep shoving down their throat your version of a shifu. And then the person indigestion. Cannot. Then I'm not living my life in tune with the Dharma that I espouses, that I look up to, or for that matter that I teach. Ying yi he shen da du zhe, ji xian he shen er wei shu fa. That the Bodhisattvas would manifest in whatever form that is necessary to teach according to the propensity and inclination of the recipient, not based on the preferences of the Bodhisattva. So, 赶快叫, 师母! I thought about this.
What's the difference between a shifu and a shifu?
Don't charge me for being sexist. But you know the 严父慈母. Yeah. But interestingly, in Buddhism, 父 is considered 慈, then 母 is 悲. Yeah. 一个慈一个悲. Yeah. So, either way, yeah, it's about changing ourselves. I don't say that you must change you. I say I must change myself. But not what I prefer. Maybe some people, they need, or they need and they want. Important, they need or want. Yeah, whether they need and whether they want. Yeah. It's easy for me to keep on saying that, oh, this is what you need. But then one day when I think, repeat what I said to myself, I realize this is what parents tell their kids, isn't it? This is for your own good. But then if the kid go and run away, become a drug addict and then die in the streets, then what good is that, right? Yeah. So depends. all this is linked to the last two, compassion and gratitude. Compassion and gratitude. Compassion not just for others, but also for ourselves. Yeah. Towards ourselves, to have compassion, to give ourselves that time and space to change, to improve. Yeah. And not just to set a certain line and then when we fall short, then just give up. No. Be compassionate to yourself. Being compassionate means to try again and again. Yeah. When it's to ourselves, it's to keep trying to do the corrections. Towards others, to have compassion, to give people a chance. Yeah. And then gratitude. So, what is a new me for you? So we have 15 minutes. I want to invite you all to reflect, yeah, think about this. Uncertainty is a scary thing. And sometimes uncertainty itself is one thing. The fear of letting people know that we are uncertain is perhaps the bigger problem. And here I must cite two incidences. One circular, one Dhamma. Both similar. The first was one of the first project I did in consulting. When I drafted the proposal and I showed the managing consultant, he looked at it and then I asked him what he think, whether it's okay. And you know what his reply was? He looked at it, he looked at me and he said, "I don't know. You're the expert here. How do I know? You better know that it's good enough." Of course he knows. Yeah. But for him to say that he don't know, that speaks volume. Because it was less about him not knowing. It was more about him entrusting me. That he's telling me, you know, he wants me to be the one who knows. That's more important. Of course not everybody subscribe to that. But after that, he still looked through and then he still asked a few questions. Are you sure that 3 days is enough for the preparation? And of course, later it proved not to be enough. And the other one is where, you know, a lot of students ask me questions, and some students ask me whether I'm stressed giving talks, especially the Q&A. Why I seem to, you know, be like quite enjoying myself during Q&A. They ask me whether I'm stressed because what if students ask you something that you don't know? The truth is, I don't know everything. The stress is trying to conceal that. So because I wasn't trying to conceal anything, so there's no stress. Case in point, there was one day, Vesak day, in the monastery, Komeng San. So wow, whole place is filled with people, right? So there was this youth, the youth group was having this temple tour. So youth would come in, and they would go in batches, go around the temple, and then there's this cut, nice blue color cut, like around the temple, and at each station they'll be asked certain questions. So one station was at the Da Xiong Bao Dian, and right in front of the Buddha, just outside the ceiling, had this Om Mani Padme Hum, and then there's this symbol in the center that looks almost like a bird. So I itchy lah. I can stay in my room. I come out jalan jalan, walk around, you know. Then walk past, and then they, Sifu is here. We ask Sifu. Then I'm like, So I went over. They ask, Sifu, can we ask you something? I said, yes. What is that symbol there? Then I look at it. Then I look at them. Oh, 你考到我了. I also don't know. And then they thought that I was, you know, playing along. Don't want to let them know, you know. Then, Sifu, tell us. Then I look at them. I really don't know. They were so shocked. So no stress. Yeah, no stress for not. There's no stress in not knowing. There's only stress when you're trying to let people think that you know when you don't know. Yeah. I mean, seriously. Unless you're Ying Sun Daoshi, you know. Master Ying Sun, he read the whole Chinese Tripitaka. Don't know. The first time he went through it was over 4 years. Subsequently, I think he went through it at least maybe 2 or 3 times. And his memory is said to be, when people go to ask him for about questions, right, when he was at Fuyen, you know how he replied? He tells them, the answer to your question is in 大正藏, 第几, 哪一个部, 第几册, 第几页, 左边下, 第二到第四行, the kind of answer. I didn't have personal experience of that, but a lot of seniors who were at Fuyen attest to that. And for myself, for my own teacher, I ever encountered someone dreamed in my, that was, I think, maybe in my first, yeah, because it was in person. And then someone, wow, you know, sometimes if you go to those big Dharma talk, wow, then there will be somebody stand up, 和尚慈悲, then suddenly, wow, 四句偈,五句,七句,五句,七句, wow, recite, until everybody, wow, what is that? Then, 和尚慈悲,请开示. Then you know what happened? My teacher, 你刚才背那一段是 法华经第几品, 但是后面最后一句你背错了。 后面那一句应该是怎么怎么怎么。 I was like, what? Yeah, and then my teacher said, 因为以前, you know, when he was younger, he has memorized 法华经 before. Wow. But different generation. So this generation, the disciples, never read sutra. So the teacher also don't have to memorize so many sutra. Yeah. But really, stress comes from that. Stress comes from trying to act like you are something that you are not. If you don't, there's no stress. So what kind of you do you want to be? Hey, by the way, you're supposed to do your reflection and write down it. Or if you all have questions, you all can ask. Yes. Is Buddhism about 慈悲? Short answer, yes. Let me write it down. Loving kindness. And compassion. Metta Karuna. Yeah, so short answer, yes. It is about loving kindness and compassion. But the long answer is, it's not just about that. It's about loving kindness and compassion because this is how it started. When the Buddha left the family, left the palace, it was out of loving kindness and compassion for the suffering that plagues all sentient beings that he left. Yeah. But it doesn't end with loving kindness and compassion because in Buddhism, loving kindness and compassion is rooted in wisdom. Yeah. The foundation for this, ultimately, in Buddhism is wisdom. 慈能娱乐悲能拔苦. Loving kindness has the quality of giving happiness. Compassion to remove suffering. Without wisdom, we only know about superficial happiness. We only know about sensual pleasure as a form of happiness. And as a result, when we render loving kindness, when we have loving kindness towards others, it's usually just to give the superficial happiness. Compassion, likewise, without wisdom, we only see the superficial suffering, the painful type, most prominently physical type. Mental type, harder to appreciate. And as a result, our compassion becomes limited. Only when people fall down, then we have compassion. When people are doing better than us, we have no compassion for them. Yeah. When our colleague is doing OT, we have compassion. But when we help them and then they get promoted, we have no more compassion. In the boundless form of loving kindness and compassion, when it reaches perfection, it is rooted in wisdom. Because then with wisdom, you see clearly the different levels of happiness, the different degrees of suffering, some of which we really cannot appreciate. That's why we are not enlightened. And that's why the enlightened ones appreciate a deeper degree of suffering. And that's why, and from this, so wisdom outwardly becomes compassion and loving kindness towards the world and existence itself and our own existence itself. Then it becomes renunciation, revulsion, dispassion. Yeah, because that same wisdom see clearly how there are the different degrees of suffering in this world. Nothing to cling on to. And how whatever happiness you can pursue is ultimately insubstantial. Yeah. So towards ourselves, then this cuts away attachment. But to describe, you know, seeing when we talk about over time becoming unclear, right? In the past, it's very clear. Yeah, cut away attachment. In the past, it's very clear. Let go. After a while, I realize, actually nothing to let go. Yeah. And even to say cut away attachment, it's a figurative speech as well. You cannot really cut away attachment. Because as long as the cause of attachment is still there, which is non-seeing, As long as you don't see things as they are, in other words, you have no wisdom, then you cannot have renunciation, revulsion, and dispassion. Then you will have delusion about things, and so you really feel like, oh, it's really substantial. So attachment will still arise. When we say cut away attachment, it is actually through seeing. Yeah, wisdom is seeing. Then once you see, then attachment don't arise. The so-called cutting away of attachment is the non-arising of attachment. So yes, loving kindness and compassion. So, 1 more minute to go. Must give you all some homework. So, go back and do a plan. There are 3 kinds of happiness that the Buddha has highlighted. First is happiness that is visible in this life. Happiness in the next life. This is the second type. That means our rebirth. So this is considered our worldly pursuit. Rightly speaking, number 2 is also considered worldly, rightly speaking, okay? But I just highlight that this is about the rebirth. 3rd is the supreme happiness, which is nirvana. Yeah, so this in a way can be a framework for us, our goal. So if I tell you to set all your goal on nirvana, yeah, how many retreats are you going to go? How much meditation? How many hours? I think maybe not so realistic. But if we totally take it out, then we are not being faithful to our own belief also, or our own practice. So still put it in, but know that this is a longer term goal. Then the goal is, okay, how about next life? Don't just care about this life, but you must ask yourself, in the same way as how you were last year can have some impact on how you are going to be this year. But we can still put in effort to shift it. And if you ask yourself, if your whole life you have been an angry person, what's the chance that suddenly next life you are reborn in heaven and then, yeah. How likely is it that if your whole life you are not meditating, yeah, and then next life suddenly born in the second jhana form world, or next life go to Pure Land, how likely? So ask yourself, work backwards. Yeah, what is the goal you want? Then ask yourself, how should it shape this life? Yeah, but translate that to this year as well. And then, to be realistic and practical, also ask yourself, how about this life? What kind of pursuit you want to make? But even for this worldly pursuit, it can be twofold also. It can be material pursuit. It can also be what kind of worldly character you want to establish. What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? Do you want to just leave behind a bank account with a lot of zeros, whether in front or behind? Yeah. But that's just material, you know. And you must know, material anyone can leave behind. A friend told me, money is fungible. You know what is fungible? I didn't know before that also. She explained to me. She's a behavioral economist. So she explained to me. Fungible means if you get $10 from here, $20 from there, put together, it's still $30. Whether you use $10 and later on you first use $20, then later use $10, it's still they are interchangeable, in other words.